the Old Testament. Stories that you read and you think, what in the world? Why was this story? I mean, the story, think about the story about the guy who had a concubine that he cut in 12 pieces and sent to all. I mean, it's just, I mean, there's just some things like that, and you think, what in the world? Why are they in the Bible? As you read those stories, often you have more questions than you do answers, and you think, why? What? Well, we're going to look at one of those kind of stories this morning. It's not quite as gory as the story I already mentioned. But this story this morning, when I read the text, we're in 1 Kings 13, by the way. When I read the text for the first time, a phrase jumped out at me, and I thought, this is the theme. And the phrase was, the man of God. The man of God. But as I continued to read the text and study the text, there was another phrase that jumped out at me, and that phrase was the word of the Lord. And this phrase is found 11 times in our text, the word of the Lord. And then there are several times it refers to something that the Lord said. So this morning, we're going to look at a text that talks about the importance of obeying the word of the Lord. Now you say, well, Gary, that we hear this all the time. Yeah, because it's foundational. This week, and I'll talk more about this in the lesson, you made many, many, many choices. And many of those choices were to obey the word of God or to obey something else. Now, this story really highlights the importance of obeying the Word of God. So, let's look at our text here this morning. You should be in 1 Kings 13 by now. And we want to see the record of the Word of the Lord. All right, so verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the Word of the Lord. There's our first one, unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in, there it is again, the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave the sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. So here's the record of the word of the Lord. Now, it's interesting. Let me remind you of the context. Last week, we saw Jeroboam building two golden calves and establishing idol worship in Dan and Bethel. Bethel, about 12 miles north of Jerusalem, which is where they were supposed to worship. And he set up these idols, and he set up some high places. And then just, what did we call that last week? What kind of worship? I heard it. Convenient worship. And this was his convenient worship. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You can just come to Dan or come to Bethel, and you can worship. And he said, these golden calves, these are your gods. Wow. Well, evidently, that worship had been established, and this may be even the dedication of that altar there in Bethel. So everything's going great. Jeroboam has got his kingdom. He's got his religion. He set it up. Here they are. They're going to come, and they're going to worship. And suddenly, the man of God shows up. Now, it's interesting. This man of God was not a local man of God. He was from Judah, from the southern tribe. And he shows up on the scene suddenly. And to me, it's kind of like when Pastor was preaching recently in the book of Daniel, the king was using the cups and the plates from the temple and was worshiping his false god. And they were partying. And all of a sudden, the handwriting appeared on the wall. And suddenly, the man of God shows up. Now, here Jeroboam has established this false worship. Things look like they're going well. He's doing what he wants to do. He's got his kingdom. Things look great. And then the man of God shows up. And the man of God says some pretty amazing things. He says, first of all, I want you to know there's going to be a man that's going to rise up named Josiah. And he's going to destroy this altar and he's going to burn the bones of the priests that you have on this very altar. And we'll see that fulfilled toward the end of the lesson. The second thing he says is, look, this altar is going to be rent and the ashes are going to come out of this altar. God is going to judge for your sin. So the man of God shows up on the scene and said, hey, I'm going to give you the word of God. And he delivers the word of God to King Jeroboam. Now, King Jeroboam evidently was standing with his hand upon the altar. I don't know if he was right-handed. Say he was right-handed. He's standing with his hand upon the altar. And when the man of God shows up, he reaches out to the man of God to stop him, and God paralyzes his arm. See, here's God's word of judgment, and how did Jeroboam respond? Now, he rejected it. And he reaches out his hand, and God paralyzes his hand. Now, it's an amazing thing to think about what the word of God is to Jeroboam, and yet he totally rejects it. Now, before I finish that thought, I want you to look at verse 9 of the same chapter. And I want you to see the word of God that came to the prophet, the man of God. This is very important. Look at verse 9. For so it was charged me by, here it is again, the word of the Lord saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the way that thou camest. Now, here's another word of God. This one's to the prophet, to the man of God. And God said, when you go to Bethel, don't eat, don't drink. And when you come back, I want you to come back another way. Now, if you're like me, you hear that and you think, what do you think? Why? Why not? Why not eat? Why not drink? Why come back a different way? Now, God doesn't tell us. Now, here's a question. The first question that comes to my mind, I don't know. But this was God's word to him. By the way, isn't the Christian life often about obeying God's commands even when we don't understand? Think of Hebrews chapter 11. What's that whole chapter about? People that God said do something. Abraham, I want you to move. Where? I'm not telling you. Now that takes some faith. By the way, the word of God says that the just shall walk by faith. You know, the Christian life, folks, is a life of faith. And if God speaks, we just say, okay. This idea that, well, you know, God spoke to me and I understood it and so I did it, that's wonderful, but most of the time you don't. There are things in the Word of God, folks, we just don't understand. And we say, you know what, as a believer, I'm going to accept it by faith. So here the man of God has been given the Word of God, and he delivers it to Jeroboam. God's going to judge you for your sin, for your idolatry. The Word of God had come to him, and the Word of God for him was, look, you need to not eat or drink. And by the way, what does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Somebody help me. How does it start? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you as a believer are making decisions based totally on what you think and what you feel, you're not pleasing God. You can't. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. And we have to believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So here's the word of God. Here's the record of it. To Jeroboam, judgment. To the man of God, don't eat, don't drink while you're in Bethel, and come back a different way. All right? So, secondly, we've seen the record of the word of God. Secondly, the rejection of the word of the Lord. How did these guys respond? How did they respond? And we've already seen, I've already mentioned Jeroboam. But God has announced judgment on Jeroboam, on his throne that he's built, on the priest that he has. And he reaches out his hand to stop the prophet, and God just says, okay, your hand's not moving. Can you imagine? Jeroboam, his hand is stuck. He's paralyzed, can't move his hand. What a picture of a man who defies God and says, no, I won't do what God wants me to do. God just says, okay, I'll just stop you right there. The power of God. And Jeroboam pleads with the prophet, and the prophet takes care of that, and he's healed from that. But you know what, folks? We are foolish if we think that we can stop the promises of God. And if we live like God can't do what he says he's going to do, we are foolish. I mean, folks, the promises of God, the word of God is settled in heaven. It is eternal. In 1 Peter 1:25, it says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And I love what Dr. Bob Sr. used to say. He said, young man, your arms are too short to box with God. What a great truth. And old Jeroboam thought he was going to stop God from judging him, and God said, okay, I'll just paralyze your arm. Boy, we are foolish as believers when God speaks to us and we just throw it off and say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. We are foolish. That's exactly what Jeroboam did. Now, let's think about it, though. When you think of Jeroboam and what he's doing, you kind of expected that, didn't you? I mean, did you expect Jeroboam to say, okay, I'll tear down my altars and stuff? And I didn't. But what about the man of God? What did God told him? Don't eat, don't drink, go back a different way. So, Jeroboam asked to have his hand healed, and it is healed. God heals him mercifully. And then Jeroboam says, hey, I want you to come to my house, and I want you to eat with me and drink with me, and I'm going to reward you. Now, who's telling him this? The king. Okay? So the king says, look, buddy, if you'll come to my house, to the palace, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you a good drink. I'm going to give you rewards for. And I really think he's just trying to. You say, well, maybe he repented. Well, we're going to find out later on he didn't. I think he's just trying to butter him up. Trying to, you know, give some reward to change him and do these things. And what did the prophet say? We haven't read that far. Let's look down in our text. Back in chapter 13. And the man of, in verse 8, the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now I wish that was the end of the story. The man of God said, hey, wait a minute, the word of God came to me, and I'm going to do what God said. I wish that was the end of the story. But it's not. Let's read on. Verse 11. Now there dwelt in an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king, them they told also to their father. Now, immediately, do you have some questions? What are some questions that come to your mind? Yeah, here's the local guy. Why didn't God call him? What else? How'd he find out about what happened? His sons. How did his sons find out? They were probably there. What were they doing there? So the old prophet lives in Bethel. God hadn't called him to give the word. And he hears about this. And in verse 12, their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Okay? Well, how did he respond? Verse 16. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. This is the old prophet speaking. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Whoa, wait a minute. Now again, you want to think, what's wrong with this old prophet? Now we know something that the man of God didn't know, because I didn't read the last part of that verse. What do we know? He was lying. Now again, you think, why, what's he doing? Why would he do that? Why would he lie? We don't know. We don't know what his intentions are. We don't know what his thoughts are. But we do know that the man of God had a choice. Was he going to obey the word of the Lord? Or was he going to obey the word of the old prophet? Now, to me, this is the crux of the chapter. This is the point of the chapter. Because every day of our lives, we make the same choices. Am I going to obey the word of the Lord, or am I going to obey something else? Now let's stop and think for a minute. What are some other things that we as believers might be moved to? What might move us to disobey God or do something other than the word of God? Okay, the world, right? What's the world trying to do? And be not conformed to the world. Every day of your life, the world gives you messages. I was speaking last Wednesday or Monday night to our basketball guys. Most of them are not from our church. In fact, I don't know if any of them are from our church. And I was teaching on Matthew chapter 11. And come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And I said, how many of you guys know somebody who's hooked on drugs? And of course, all of them raised their hand. I said, how many of you know guys that are alcoholics? And they all raised their hand. Some of them maybe, I don't know. But you see, the world's message is, if you want to have fun, and if you want to have all the beautiful women, drink alcohol. And boy, I tell you what, folks, this is a rabbit trail. But this is the way the devil's working in our society today. It's not trying to get people to smoke. Now, we were just out in Denver, and marijuana is very prevalent. I don't know by personal experience, but there was much talk of it. But you know the thing the devil's using right now? You go to Gatlinburg and walk through downtown Gatlinburg, and you'll know what God's using, what the devil's using right now. All this moonshine, all these microbreweries. You don't have to go to Gatlinburg. Just go to John City. And the world says, if you want to enjoy life and have a good life, alcohol is the way to go. Now, am I going to obey the word of the Lord, or am I going to obey the world? What other thing do you have to battle that tries to get you to obey it? The flesh, sure. The flesh. And by the way, what is the flesh like? Galatians chapter 5. If it's wrong, the flesh likes it. And every day of your life, the flesh says, you do this, and the word of God says, you do this, and you have to make a choice. And then, of course, you can throw Satan in on top of that. By the way, when did this all start? When mankind had to make a choice between the word of God and something else? Yeah, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And Eve had a choice, didn't she? Am I going to believe the word of God, or I'm going to believe Lucifer? Now look, tragically, in this situation, the God, man of God, had a choice to make between what God had told him and what, who told him? A prophet told him. Look, I know this kind of throws something at me, but just because a religious leader says something, folks, hallelujah, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not right. And if I ever say anything, and you say, well, wait a minute, that's not what the Word of God says, hallelujah, come and tell me. Now do it in a godly, gentle fashion. And don't send me an anonymous email, okay? And if I'm wrong, if I'm going against the Word of God, hallelujah, we're not going to do that, folks. Did you realize, folks, that the Word of God says that the devil even comes, Lucifer comes as an angel of light? And I don't know what the deal is. We have these ideas that, well, you know, this preacher on TV said it, it must be true. If a preacher on TV said it, it's probably not true. Okay? Now, this is why we have 1 John 4:1, which says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Look. This man of God had a choice to make between a prophet, an old prophet, and what God had told him. Now, when Jeroboam tried to get him to do wrong, he made the right decision. How about in this situation? Let's see what he did. Back in chapter 13, verse 19. So he went back with him. And did eat bread in his house and drank water. You say, so what? What's the big deal? I mean, bread and water. I'm not going to tell you about last night, about 10:30, when the hot bread came out of the oven and I got some, put some butter. I won't tell you about that. This guy goes and eats bread and water. So what? What's the so what? It was against, God said, don't do it. You say, well, Seaman, how harmless can that be? Some bread and some water. God said, don't do it. So what happens? In verse 20. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. So now the word of the Lord is coming to the old prophet. And he cried unto the man that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the voice of the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he'd eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. All right? So they've just got done eating. The old prophet says, oh, by the way, God just told me you're in big trouble, buddy. So he gives him his donkey, and the man of God goes on his way, and what happens to him? By the way, this may seem severe, but what does the Bible says the wages of sin is? So the man of God takes the donkey, and he goes off into the sunset. And as he goes off into the sunset, verse 24, when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey or ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Now, wouldn't that be a scene? You're walking down the road, there's a guy who's been killed by a lion, has not been eaten by the lion, the lion's just standing there looking around, and the donkey's just standing there. What was the point of all that, by the way? What was the point? Was there any doubt that this was the judgment hand of God on this man? Now, why did he lose his life? Because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. Now, there's more to the story. The old prophet finds out about it. He goes and gets him, puts him in a sepulcher, tells his boys, when I die, throw me in the same sepulcher with him. Rather odd. Again, questions you have. But the whole point of the story is the man of God disobeyed the word of the Lord. God judged him. You say, but Seaman, it's so stupid. bread and water. Disobeyed God. Now, what about Jeroboam? Jeroboam disobeyed God too. And you might think, well, you know, must be nice to be Jeroboam. He's the king. He got away with it. He just goes on and he's fine. There's no problem. Turn over to chapter 15 and verse 28. And it says, even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, and until he had destroyed them, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel to sin, by his provocation whereby he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. You say, wait a minute, Seaman, what about this Josiah guy? I mean, the man of God said Josiah is going to come, and he's going to destroy the altar, and he's going to burn the bones of the prophets, or the priests. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 23 Does God keep his word? 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 15. And it says, I'll wait till you get there. 2 Kings 23:15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Wow. By the way, any idea what the span of time was between the man of God, what he said, and Josiah? 300 years. 300 years. Does God keep his word? Now, this week, every one of us are going to be making choices. Will I obey the word of God, the word of the Lord, or will I obey my flesh, the world, the devil? You have a choice. I have a choice. You say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, I wouldn't think eating bread and water was that big a deal. In fact, I ate some last night about 10:30. I did eat water. I exercised first, and then I ate bread and water and butter. You know, got to have balance in your life, you know, balance. But folks, when God speaks to us, we need to realize the seriousness of disobeying the Word of God. When you know God's will, and when I know God's will, folks, we need to obey it. We need to obey it. This is a strange story. I have so many questions I'd like answered. But evidently, that's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is the word of the Lord was given. And the man of God and Jeroboam disobeyed God. And they both paid a great price. I just want to encourage you this week, as you make choices, may the Lord help us to obey the word of the Lord. Don't rationalize. Don't say, well, you know, my situation is different. Don't go to Scripture and try to change it to meet your needs. Don't make up your mind and then go look for Scripture to back up your decision. Let's obey the Word of the Lord. Boy, that is the secret to success and contentment and a life that counts for all eternity. I don't know why, but for some reason the last several days, The fact that I am 56 has been weighing heavily upon my heart. And that in December I'll be 57. And I think, you know, life is passing quickly. And, you know, if the Lord is kind, maybe another 20 years or so. I don't know. Well, we need to obey the word of the Lord. If you want your life to count for eternity, obey the word of the Lord. Get in it, read it, study it, understand it, apply it, do it, do it. Let's be people that obey the word of the Lord. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for this great truth. I thank you for speaking to my heart. And Lord, speak to all of us and help us, I pray, to obey you and to do the word of what the word of the Lord says. Help us to be people of the Bible, people who read it and study it and obey it, that we might live for you, we pray. Help us this week as we make choices, to make the right choices and obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.